Paddy Power shops are back open, and with them, the return of a massive racing offer. We're giving best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples. All UK and Irish racing, all shops, all day. Limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in shops for more details. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Post Weekend Racing Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to yet another stunning Group 1 weekend are Keith Melrose and Graham Rodway, those two fine judges from the Racing Post tipping team, and also Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly, who has all the odds, hopefully some special offers, some extra places, and most importantly, some winners. What have we got coming up? We've got 9 races on ITV on Saturday from Ascot and Newmarket. The highlight is the July Cup. And then Pinatubo is in action in beautiful Deauville in France on Sunday in the Prix Jean Prat. We'll be seeing how he gets on. We'll start, though, with the big race of the day. It takes place at 3:35 at Newmarket on Saturday. It's the Darley July Cup. A Group 1 over 6 furlongs. Niall, take it away with Paddy Power's latest betting.
Yeah, so we're 2-1 Golden Horde, 4-1 Skeptical, 4-1 Hello Humes in, 7-1 Cadem, 8-1 Tret, Oxford 12-1 and 14-1 Bar.
This is a really interesting July Cup, Keith. I suppose the conversation begins with Golden Horde. Did you trust him as a favourite, or are you going to look elsewhere?
I think on balance I'm going to trust him, because I thought the way out of the Diamond Jubilee was each way in Hello Humes in, because he's solid. I got a bit fortunate and he won. But the reason he was put up was because I don't see much there with these older sprinters, and he is the horse that was going to give his running, and he is about a 120 horse. And that's what I think of the older sprinters. That being the case, Golden Horde, just with that younger, sexier profile, convincing winner of the Commonwealth Cup, I just think he's the rightful favourite. I'm also a little bit... I wonder how the draw will play out in this race as well. You know, you've got your 13 runners and Skeptical and Hello Humes in are out in 11 and 12 respectively, which is right in the middle of the track as it happens. If things happen up the rail, they could be in the spot of bother. So yeah, I think Golden Horde is the one to look for in this race, because the alternative really is a horse that's a really big price, Shine So Bright. I think he's extremely quick, and I can see him getting out in front if it does all pan out down that stand rail. He's drawn in 3, and I'm not going to tip him at 28-1 plus, but he'd be the one of the bigger prices that might outrun his odds. You know, you often get one of these sprinters doing that, and he might be the one that does it.
Well, Keith, we better just do a quick weekend weather. Obviously, there was a lot of rain on Thursday, and that softened the ground at Newmarket. I'm told it's likely to dry out. So should we work on the premise of pretty much good ground with maybe a slight bit of cut?
That's what I would do. You know, I'm not much of a ground punter particularly. I did look at the forecast. It did look dry. So, yeah, I would be anticipating ground that was maybe just on the slow side of goods. And there's very few times when I would really use that to beat a horse or big them up particularly when it's in the vicinity of goods. So the ground will be a bit of a leveller for me.
Okay, G-Rod, who are you going to go for in the July Cup?
Yeah, I think that there's one outstanding sprinter in this race and a bunch of good ones. And the outstanding one is Golden Horde. He was very impressive when he won at Ascot. And all the talk before that race at Ascot was that this Golden Horde had made a huge amount of physical progress over the winter. And everyone was saying he'd turn into a bull of a horse. And there are even some reports that this was the best sprinter that Clive Cox has ever trained. Now, he's already won this race twice in the last 10 years with Lethal Force and Harry Angel. So if Golden Horde is better than them, he's going to be very, very difficult to beat. Now, of course, last year he was beaten a couple of times by Earthlight. He defeated Fret at Goodwood. So his form last year wasn't outstanding. But again, if you go back to the last two winners of Clive Cox's of this, certainly Lethal Force wasn't a champion two-year-old, but he made a huge leap of improvement from 2 to 3 and from 3 to 4. And then the same with Harry Angel, again, made a huge leap from 2 to 3 as he got older. And it just seems to be the way that Clive Cox trains these sprinters, in that they do tend to get physically stronger and better with age and with racing. And Golden Horde dominated that Commonwealth Cup, and he did look like a big bull of a horse as well. Absolutely bolted up. and I'm expecting him to improve again. And if he improves again, there's no way any of these older horses are going to be able to give him weight.
Okay, Niall, do you agree with the boys? Are you with the favourite as well?
Not particularly. No, I did find this race very tough. I've landed on Hello Humes in, who going into Ascot wasn't a horse I rated that highly, but I just thought he looked to have improved. Showed a lot of speed out of the gate, and then showed a really good attitude to get back up and beat Skeptical and Dream of Dreams. Yeah, look, Golden Horde, he was very impressive, though I didn't really fancy him going into Ascot, and I still think there was something strange about that race. Like, if you look at it, the first four home, I think they were all drawn over stall 10. I think they were 11, 12, 14 and something else. The fourth home that day was 250-1 and wasn't beaten that far. So I just think there's a little bit odd about that race. There's something a little bit odd. I don't think he's as good as he looked that day. And at the price, I'm willing to take him on. Hello, Humeson. Like I said, I think he could have improved from 3-4. He had quite decent form as a three-year-old as well. And Kevin Ryan sent him through for the run. So he could improve again from what he showed in the Diamond Jubilee. So given the ground is in his favour as well, I'm just going to side with him.
I'm with you there, Niall. I just think, as with Keith at Ascot, I'd back Hello, Humeson each way there because I just couldn't see three beating him. And I'm perfectly happy to do the same again.
Yeah. Okay, the one thing about that race at Royal Ascot, if you just watch the race that Hello, Humeson won, watch the start of the race. Hello, Humeson makes about two lengths out of the stalls. It's the most weirdest start. I mean, he absolutely flies out like a ground that sort of pinged the lids out of the traps. And I just wonder, like, if he's not able to repeat that sort of break, which is, you know, very, very questionable, if he is going to be good enough to win this, and that race at Ascot as well, in one more stride, Dream of Dreams would have got him and would have gone away and won well had it been a little bit further. And this Newmarket test is a lot sharper than that Ascot race. I just think there's a lot of questions about that also. I forgot his name.
Hello, Humeson.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
That's the one. He's won two group ones. I think he's all right. Okay, let's move on to the 410. Let's see if Giro can remember their names here. It's the Bet365 Bunbury Cup. Handicap over 7 furlongs, nice and competitive. Niall, how did Paddy Power bet on this?
Yes, we're paying 5 places in this race. And Motokail is our 4-1 favourite. Mutamasik is 11-2. Blown by Wind, 10-1. Spanish City, 10-1. Arigato, 10-1. Sir Busker, 11-1. Godhead, 11-1. And 12-1 bar.
D-Rod, lead on, my friend.
Yeah, so Hamdan El Maktoum owns the first two in the market in this race. Motokail and Mutamasik. And they finished first and third in the Buckingham Palace at Royal Ascot. And just something that really hit me, you know, we do those things sometimes. What did we learn over the weekend? What did we learn at Royal Ascot? If there was one thing I learned over Royal Ascot, it was that Jim Crowley is very, very good at choosing the right one of these Hamdan El Maktoum horses, unless he just got lucky that week. But I mean, that race, the Buckingham Palace, Frankie Dettori was actually riding the favourite Darik, who was also owned by Hamdan El Maktoum, and that finished out the back. And the first two of the Hamdan El Maktoum runners were Motokail and Mutamasik, and one was ridden by Crowley and one was ridden by Dane O'Neill, who are the first two jockeys of Hamdan El Maktoum. So the fact that Crowley is riding Motokail again, and he hasn't chosen to jump ship and ride Mutamasik, who Ryan Moore's riding instead, that to me would be a massive pointer towards Motokail's chance. I mean, Motokail was one of the most impressive winners at Royal Ascot. He did it in a very good time, and he bolted up on similar sort of ground to what we're going to have here, just on the soft side of good. And he's very lightly raced and unexposed in comparison to a lot of several more exposed, older, out of form sort of rivals. I'll be very surprised if he hasn't got enough improvement in him, Motokail, to win this one.
Thank you, G-Rod. Niall, what's your view of the Bunbury Cup?
Yeah, so the one I like was actually Blown by Wind. Mark Johnson has a decent record at this meeting in general with handicaps. Now, he tends to run a lot of horses, but I just quite like the profile of this winner. If you go to last season, he had a lot of runs, but his last run, he beat Montatum by 3 lengths in a handicap. And that one's obviously done quite well this year. He was gelded since, came out, had a kind of an easy, you know, first run at Wolverhampton in a Lister race, but then won a decent handicap at Newmarket, beating Pogo with a horse called Nahar back in third 4-2 ran really well at Royal Ascot. He's a bit disappointed at Ascot, but was drawn the wrong side. And then last time at Newmarket, he was beaten in length by Arigato, but actually got no run at a crucial time. So yeah, I just think there's upside to him. And like I said, Mark Johnson's very good record here. This one will definitely handle easy ground. Motokail, I think he'll run well as well. I'd be a little bit worried because time form had the ground as good to firm that day at Ascot. So I do think he probably needs it faster than maybe it's going to be tomorrow. But yeah, I'm just going to side it blown by wind.
And Keith?
I agree with Al to a good point there because I do like that race that Blown by Wind was second in the Arigato race. Arigato obviously runs in it. Blown by Wind was quite a progressive horse, and you can throw out the Ascot blip because, as Niall said, he was on the wrong side. The horse that finished third in the race, Kasban's also in this, and I'd just like to give him a little mention. Not that I'm saying he's a likelier winner than the other two. He was basically caught on the wing all the way through that Newmarket race where he was third and stayed on out the pack to finish third off them. I think he'd have been on their heels with a slightly better run through. Whether he's quick enough for seven, even a stiff seven, is the question. But he's 25-1 plus, and you get that for a reason. I don't think a high draw will be necessarily a bad thing in this race, the same way it might be in the July Cup. I can see there being a couple of groups in this race. So at a big price, just a quiet mention for him, but I do like that form generally is my main point in this one.
So who's your main selection there, sorry, Keith?
My main selection, I will have a little each way bet on Kasban because he's just such a big price and I like that form so much.
Okay, mate, jolly good. Right then, in recent weeks you'll have heard me and various other people on the podcast banging on about the Members Club subscription offer, and loads and loads of you have taken it up. It's fantastic, and if you did, there's some really exciting news coming up on Monday. We're starting the Ultimate Daily, a brand new daily newsletter exclusive to Ultimate member subscribers. We're kicking off with Lee Motters. All the Racing Post top writers are on there. Check it out. And don't forget, it's not too late to subscribe. It really is a fantastic offer. We're back in a moment with the rest of the Saturday TV action.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. Seven more TV races to assess on Saturday. We will begin with the 150 at Newmarket. It's the Bet365 Mile. It's a handicap. Niall, what's the latest betting?
So Finest Saying is our 9-4 favourite. Eastern World is 130. Hakiki is 11-2, Established 13-2, Surf Dancer 9-1, and 11-1 Bear.
So Finest Sound, of course, is the horse that everyone fancied to bolt up at Ascot, and it would have done but for running into that incredible performer of Roger Verens by the name of Calusi. So he's on a revenge mission here. Niall, will Finest Sound's backers at Ascot get the money back here?
Yeah, I think so. He's £7 higher than he was in that Britannia. Obviously, that rise in the rates is fully deserved when you look at what he did at Haydock as well. Like, you take out the winner and he's hammered the rest. The danger is that there's a couple of unexposeds and he could run into another, but I definitely think he's still very well handicapped off this mark. Even a quick look at that form of the Britannia would make you fancy him. I think the 6 and the 8 have both won since. There hasn't been that many other runners in there, so the form looks very strong. He just looks well clear to me. I think he'll go off sub 2-1 personally. So yeah, Finest Sound.
And Keith, do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I wish you'd film me watching that race at Ascot. You'd have to have bleeped out when I saw the Hamdan horse come in, because Finest Sound looked like he was going to win, travelled all over them, and then what the hell is this? And we all know the rest. If he was £7 higher and they ran that race again without Calusi, he'd back him again, wouldn't he? And this would not be as strong as a race like that at Royal Ascot. You know, it's a race with unexposed three-year-olds in there, so you do run the risk of him bumping into another one. But having backed him at Ascot, £7 higher doesn't worry me. I will be going in again.
I couldn't have filmed you swearing during that race because I was too busy swearing having backed him myself. G-Rod, who do you like here?
I thought this was a very, very difficult race. I thought that Finest Sound was the right favourite, but I did think he looked the sort of favourite that might be vulnerable to anything special. And there are a couple in there who could be a different class, were they to take a huge leap. Eastern World and Hakiki were both very impressive when winning on the Roly Mile last time. And I just would rather back Eastern World, the Godolphin runner, He's quite well related. He's related to Thunder Snow, who was obviously a champion in Dubai, and he won that race at Newmarket in a very good time. And I just think he might be capable of improving past the favourite. I think the favourite's got a great chance. Don't get me wrong, Finest Sound. But he just looks the sort of horse who could run into one again.
Okay. We're going to take these in chronological order. So we're skipping from Newmarket to Ascot for the 205. It's the Betfred Ascot official bookmaker, Phillies Handicap. And how do Paddy Power bet on this one?
Yes, so Melnikova is our 11-4 favourite. Declared interest is 5-1. Al Nassim, 11-2. Manab at 4-1. Oh, sorry, wrong around. Disco Fever, 9-1 and 11-1 bar.
Keith, who do you think is going to win this one?
Very competitive again, but the one I'm going to mention is in the 11-1 bar, and she did run at Royal Ascot, is Al Razma. I quite fancied her a bit at Royal Ascot. She'd run 10 days before, and that one had the feel of a bit of a sighter, really. She turned up at Ascot and just got trapped, marooned in a small group on the near side that had no chance, really. Finishing 5th, 8th, beating 5 lengths like she did was no disaster given all that, so I'll be giving her another chance.
Al Razma for Keith, who for Graham?
Yeah, one of my better bets on the day here. This guy, James Ferguson, the trainer. He is the son of John Ferguson, who was obviously quite useful at winning all those bumpers and decent jumpers that he had a few years ago. And is now, I don't know, he's always worked for Sheikh Mohammed, hasn't he? And James Ferguson, his son, has made an absolutely fantastic start to his training career. He's had 3 winners in the last fortnight from just 8 runners. If you remember when John Ferguson came on the scene, when he first started training, his horses were going off decent prices. And then very, very quickly, the market adapted and realised that John Ferguson was very good. And I think that we might well see the same with James Ferguson, his son here, because at the moment, his horses are still going off fairly good prices, despite the fact that he's absolutely flying along. And I don't think it will be long before his horses are quickly on the market's radar. And if he has a big winner at Ascot tomorrow, this could be the day that sets him off. And he's booked Andrea Zeni to ride Al Nassim. This one was absolutely smashed in the market when winning at Yarmouth 12 days ago. They punted this horse like it could not lose, and it did absolutely bolt up. It won by 1.25 lengths, but never, ever looked like losing, and was travelling beautifully the whole way, stayed on really strongly. Now, he's had a couple of runs over further, but I think a stiff mile over the straight track at Ascot will be ideal for Al Nassim, and he's only gone up £4. I think this horse could be rated in the hundreds in a couple of months, and he's running off just 85 here off the top weight of 10 stone. I think he's got a great chance, Al Nassim.
Excellent. G-Rod, what's happened to you? You've got a real spring in your step today. There's a real sort of purpose about what you're doing.
I'm quite confident about this weekend, although you know how that often ends up.
It tends to be that way, doesn't it? When you're lucid and fluent and strident, the horses run terrible. And then when you're forgetting their names and getting the wrong meeting and the wrong distance, they all win, don't they? Well, hopefully it'll all come together this week. Okay, Niall, who do you fancy here?
Yeah, I think Melnikova could be absolutely thrown in here off 83. On debut, she beat Stylistique, who's now rated 104, with Run Wild back in third, and that one's rated 109. And she was obviously on debut, and they both had a run. So it looks really strong form. She then went off favourites, beat Quadrilateral at Newbury, that was well beaten on the day. She's been off since, so I'm kind of guessing that maybe she wasn't quite right that day, which would give you confidence given her mark now. She's trained by Sir Michael Stow, who's obviously a master. She's got all-weather form, which normally translates well to Ascot. And off this mark, like, I'd be shocked if she's not close to 100 by the end of the season. So, yeah, she looks thrown into me.
Okay, let's whiz back to Newmarket for the 225. It's the British Stallion Studs EBF Phillies Handicap over 7 furlongs. Yet another wide-open race, Niall. Take it away with a show of betting.
So this is our money back special race. So it's money back, second, third, and fourth. And Indie Angel is our 11-4 favourite. Spring of Love is 11-2. Fantail 6-1. Odyssey Girl 13-2. Rossadora 8-1. Wine Flight 8-1 and 10-1 bar.
And if your ears pricked up at the sound of a money back special there, just to reiterate, if you have a £10 or €10 bet and your horse finishes second, third, or fourth, you get your money back, which can't be bad. That's available at Paddy Power and also via the Racing Post app. Graham, who's going to win this race, do you think?
I think you must be trying to confuse me here after last week. Keep switching from Newmarket to Ascot and Ascot back to Newmarket. 2:25 at Newmarket. That's the race, isn't it?
That's it. It's on the running order. Do you know that email you get at the start of the week? Come on, Graham. You've had your first four faults there if this was show jumping.
We're jumping across tracks here. It's very confusing. Mrs. Bouquet for me here. Now, this one has been a bit disappointing this season. Has run twice and only beaten a few home in both starts. But last season, she looked quite good. She won quite a decent race at Glorious Goodwood, staying on strongly over five. I just think she looked a bit slow on both starts this year. She was found six furlongs at Goodwood too sharp first time up. And then last time at Ayr, they dropped her to five. And she was hard at it from a long, long way out and never going to win. But she stayed on quite well and was making ground towards the finish. Mark Johnson stepping her up from five furlongs to seven furlongs here. Now, I'm guessing that Joe Fanning, who was riding that day, has said, look, this horse needs further desperately. And he's booked Ryan Moore to ride Mrs. Bouquet. And I think she's coming nicely back down the weights. I mean, she was rated 97 at a peak. She's down to 94. I think that she might improve for the step up in trip, Mrs. Bouquet.
Okay, Niall, who's your selection?
I quite like Nassim here, who actually finished behind Melankova when last seen in that race, the quadrilateral one at Newbury. This one had very useful form as a two-year-old early on. She was second to Altica, who's rated 101 now, and Nassim was arguably unlucky that day before winning like a typically decent Newbury maiden. She went the wrong way after that, so she's had a wind up, so that was potentially the issue, I'm thinking. And she's off a mark of 87 here because of some of them average runs. Her trainer, James Haight, is adept at getting one ready first time up. I think he ran some stats recently and he was one of the best after a break. She's 12-1 in place at the moment, which would definitely look worth chancing each way to me. I think we're 10-1.
And Keith, who are you going to go for?
Well, I had given up on this race. I looked through the first four or five and thought, well, that'll win, and decided that that's the point where you leave the race alone. But hearing what Niall said, and it's a money-back offer race, I would just nominate Fantail. I thought the Chelmsford fourth last time was more promising than it suggested. It was also a first run of the year. So considering that you would get your money back for second, third or fourth, I would just nominate her as a small bet, the one that maybe just edged it for me.
Okay, at the risk of short-circuiting G-Rod, we're going to go back to Ascot now. For the 240, which is the Play Nifty 50 exclusively at Betfred, handicap over a mile and a half. Just the five runners, but again, competitive. Niall.
Yeah, so Celestranis are 6-4 favourite, Dubai Souk is 5-2, Carlos Felix is 4-1, Summit Reach 6-1, and Eastern Sheriff is 13-2.
Who's going to win it, Niall?
This would be one of my least fancied of the day, really. But yeah, I might just chance Summit Reach here. I think Eastern Sheriff had just ran earlier at Newmarket and was well beaten. So that we've obviously pushed that one out. Summit Reach, he was second to Calusi on debut, who obviously won the Britannia prior to being well beaten in a strong Kempton race won by Starcat, the Eastern World that runs as well tomorrow, was in that race. He then came out and won a Wolverhampton novice race quite easily. He was disappointing on his return Upton trip. I'm not actually certain if he gets this trip, but I just don't think this is that strong, and at the prices I'm willing to chance him, so that's Summit Reach.
Summit Reach for King Rafe. Keith, who do you fancy here?
I think Celestran is a bit of a siren on the rocks. That Goodwood, people will get drawn in by what Cliffa Sat's done since from the Goodwood run. And there was a reason to think the Yarmouth, you know, I think there was a tailwind that day quite heftily. And there's a reason to think that maybe this horse isn't quite as attractive as the bare form of the profile makes out. I'd nominate Carlos Felix as the one that I would take against. Bred to do better than over a mile. Whether a mile and a half is what he wants is questionable, but worth chancing with, certainly. And certainly the way he caught the eye at Doncaster, he'd been sent off favourite for that race, but didn't really get much of a run, and can definitely be marked up on that, especially considering the Simcock Yard. They started quite slowly and have come onto a game more recently. So yeah, I definitely would take on Celestran, and Carlos Felix would be the nominated charge.
And who's your nominated charge, Graham?
I think Celestran will win this. he's last time out, Goodwood, he was beaten behind that old Khalif Sat, who finished third in the derby, obviously, or second in the derby, whatever it was, in that funny old derby that we had last week. And he was very, very keen in that race, just never appeared to settle. And I think you can just forget that round. The previous win at Yarmouth was very impressive because he missed a break and was right at the back and ran on very strongly to really absolutely bolt up. He's quite a keen going type, and John Gosden slapping some blinkers on him. And John Gosden trained his dam, Starscope, who was quite useful too. And she used to be very keen, and he put a hood on her. So I'm quite surprised that he's going for blinkers, because blinkers can be the sort of thing that light up a horse rather than settle them down. And Celestrine certainly didn't need any more settling down last time because he was too keen. But you got to trust Johnny G with the blinkers first time. Very good with this tie-up. As I say, he did a similar sort of thing with his dam, and I think that Celestrine will win.
Thank you very much, chaps. A Group 2 for two-year-olds next.
Paddy Power are now offering free streaming on all UK and Irish horse racing. No bet required. Just log in and watch.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, Graham Rodway and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly. Let's turn our attention now to the 3 o'clock at Newmarket on Saturday. Always one of the most informative two-year-old races of the midsummer. It's the Bet365 Superlative Stakes. Group 2, over 7 furlongs. And Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore team up with the favourite here, Niall.
Yeah, so Hudson River is our 5-2 favourite. Seven Kingdoms, 7-2. Masters of the Sea, 4-1. Bright Devil, 8-1. Devious Company, 8-1. Kings Inn, 8-1. St. Lawrence, 8-1. 11-1 bar.
Keith, normally by this time we've got a little bit more form to go on, but obviously the truncated season means that none of these have had more than a couple of runs. Is that enough for you to be able to work out who's going to win it?
Well, you've stolen my intro there, Bruce, but thanks. That was exactly what I was going to say. The Marker 2020 is very much on this race. Usually, yeah, 7 furlong two-year-olds, even by early July, have got a couple of runs behind them. Not been the case this time. So there is an element of pick one you think looked good on debut and see how it goes. The one that really caught my eye on his winning debut was King Zane. Now, he's by Kingman, which means, you know, a bit of speed there. But the dam is a half-sister to Hume Zane. So this horse has got a bit of sort of long-term promise about him. He looked a big strapping sort when he won at Kempton on his debut. And it took him a long time to really extend and go and win that race. I get the impression he could have won it as far as he wanted, really. So that, considered a more galloping track, is going to suit. The straight seven is going to suit. And Mark Johnson's managed to book Frankie the Tory for him, despite the fact that John Gosden's got the second favourite. So that's a bit of an endorsement in itself for King Zane. And I think he's one to certainly look out for in the long term, even if you find out he comes up a bit short here. He's a horse I really think is going to go on to better things.
I apologise for doing to you what Jeff Stelling used to do to my mate Rod Studd when he used to be on Soccer Saturday. There'd be a goal at, say, Notts County, where Rod Studd would be there, and Jeff Stelling would go, "There's been a goal at Notts County. They haven't scored for 7 games. They're desperate to try and keep up their playoff hopes, and they've struck with Roger Fisher in the 74th minute. Rod Studd." And Rod would just go, yes, that's right. Everything you just said happened. Okay, Graham Rodway, who wins this?
Yeah, a bit of a guess up here, isn't there? Because loads of horses with one win by their name. And I can just imagine if Keeley was on this podcast now, he'd be trotting out the stats about Aidan O'Brien's record in this race. And, you know, he always has fancied runners and doesn't tend to run his best horses in it. But he did win it with that Gustav Klimt a few years ago that really produced a remarkable performance to win it. And I can't get away. I'm not usually a pedigree punter, but I used to love Mecca's Angel. And this is Mecca's Angel's first foal by Galileo. Hudson River was very impressive first time out at the Curra. In a fairly decent time, his favourite. It's not a strong fancy because there could be anything against him, but I can't be backing against that Mecca's Angel foal, Hudson River.
That is one pedigree, that, isn't it? Wow, Galileo and Mecca's
Angel. That's how Valadol trying to get Kenny's winners these days, isn't it? You know, getting sprinters with Galileo.
Yeah, that's right. Incredible. Okay, Niall, who do you think is going to win the superlative?
I've become quite keen on Ventura Tormenta here for Richard Hannon. He'd be one of my stronger fancy of the day at the prices. We're 11-1 at the moment. They chucked him in at the deep end on debut, running him in the Norfolk over 5 furlongs. In the circumstances, and given the fact he's now running over 7 furlongs on his third start, he's run a belter in that race, travelling really well, just not really having the gears to pick up that some of the others had in that race. He then came out at Yarmouth next time and he won quite easily, recording some very fast furlongs in the process. I think the section was the fast and the card are up there. He just looks open to a lot of improvement to me. And the stable won the race last year with Mystery Power. He's well related to being a half brother to George Bowen. So the pedigree is there. Yeah, just at the price, I think he's very interesting. That's Ventura Tormenta.
Okay, two more absolute crackers. They're both at Ascot. 3:15 is the Betfred Summer Mile. It's a Group 2. And Mohatha is a strong favourite, Niall.
Yeah, so Mohatters are 15-8 favourites. Scardew is 6-1. Duke of Hazard 7-1. Marie's Diamond 7-1. Zaki 7-1. Lord Glitter's 8-1 and 10-1 bar.
I thought the jolly was a little bit on the skinny side. Let's see what Keith Melrose thinks.
I agree, and I'm going to be writing about this race with the TPD stats this week because there's the Mohatha thing. Everybody saw Mohatha in the Queen Anne, and right enough, he had no luck in running and finished seemingly fully running in 7th. He was one place ahead of Scardew, and I think the difference between what happened with Mohatha and what happened with Scardew is that we saw what happened after Scardew made a big move. He actually ran, I think, the fastest 2nd last furlong, and then he got tired. He was unfit, it looks like. We don't know how fit, unfit Mohatha was, whether with a clear run he'd have got there. All we know is that he finished very fast and full of running. And on that basis, he's 15-8, 2-1, and Scardew's 6-1. I see as much improvement this year in Scardew in the long run. You know, he's William Haggis. Those horses don't always come out immediately at 4 and improve loads. It can take a bit of time. And I think you can reasonably say, given what happened at Ascot, that he was in need of that run. So I'd definitely take him over Mohatha at the prices.
Graham, who's your idea of the winner of this?
This favourite, Mohatha, is an absolutely terrible price. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was an eye-catching run at Royal Ascot last time. I didn't trade any shorter than 7.6 in running. So in running, punters never really thought he had a chance of winning. I know he was out of back and never really going and then came through, found trouble and all sorts. But he hasn't got one piece of form in the book that suggests he's good enough to win this race. Yet he is 3 times shorter than virtually anything else in the race. This horse has to drift. I'm not saying he won't win, but the price is a rotten price. I can't believe he'll go off anywhere near 2-1. I wouldn't surprise me if he went off 7-2, 4-1. I reckon he'd be a massive drifter, Mohatha. Couldn't have him at the price. And the same with Scardew. I don't fancy that horse at all. He is a serial disappointment, that horse. Ever since he won the Craven, you keep thinking to yourself, well, he's going to come back, he's going to come back, and then he just disappoints. He always goes off shorter than he should do. It's a great race for a bet because the two horses with the best form in the race are good prices, and that is Lord Glitters, who won a Group 1 last year at Royal Ascot, the Queen Anne, I think it was, and last year's runner-up, Zaki, who was beaten absolutely nothing by Beat the Bank in the race last year. And he's a bit of a thinker, Zaki, and he came there and he had the race won and then Beat the Bank come back. And then as Beat the Bank went past him, Zaki was starting to run on again as the line came and he literally missed by a nose. For me, it's a match between Zaki and Lord Glitters. And the fact that Zaki has got the course form from last year and he's already got a run under his belt, tips the scales in Zaki's favour because he finished 3rd in the Diomed Stakes first time out last month. He should strip fitter for that, whereas Lord Glitters might just need it. So it's Zaki for me.
Brilliant. OK, thank you, G-Rod. Niall, who do you think is going to win this?
My thoughts would be very similar to Keith's. I thought Scardy was, you could say, equally unlucky at Ascot in the Queen Anne. He just got no run. They've gone slow. Wouldn't have suited him at all. He needs to be held up. And with Marie's Diamond in here, I'm hoping there should be a decent pace on. The stable are going really well, running at a 70% run to form for the last 2 weeks. Well, Tom Marcanda is also riding really well, which is obviously important as Scardew definitely needs a good ride. Just on Mohatha, similar to what Keith said, he was unlucky there, but could be overbet here. He's yet to be proven over a mile for me as well, so I definitely think he'd be worth taking on. I don't think he'll get out to 7-2 like Graham, but I could see him going off a little bit bigger myself than his current price. So yeah, it's Scardew for me at the prices.
Great stuff, chaps. So that is an overwhelming thumbs down for the hot favourite there, Mohatha. Let's look at the 350 at Ascot, a fiendishly difficult 5 furlong sprint handicap. It's the Betfred Heritage Handicap. Niall, take it away with a show of betting.
Yeah, so we're 5 places here as well. And Arecibo's our 5-1 favourite at the moment. Jonah Jones, 11-2. Stone of Destiny, 15-2. Aplomb, 9-1. Lahore, 10-1. Final Venture, 12-1. Mountain Peak, 12-1. National Anthem, 12-1. Ventura's, 12-1. Jawal, 12-1. 14-1 bar.
G-Rod, you've been oozing confidence in very uncharacteristic fashion so far, but you can't be confident about this one, can you? This is impossible, isn't it?
It does look that way, yeah, but I do quite fancy one, and it's just another bottle. This one is a really fast horse, and he likes a stiff 5 furlongs, as he proved when he won at Sandown last year, making all the running, beating a horse called Tinto. I know one of the owners of Tinto, they rate that horse quite highly, and he ran very, very well last week in that race at, is it the Coral Charge? Yeah, I mean, he was flying home in that Tinto, and he's already won this season. I think he's quite a smart horse. Just another bottle went off the boil after winning that race. He was up £6 and maybe just found himself a bit high in the weights. But last time at Ayr, he bounced right back to form behind National Anthem. He was only beaten for second just on the line and in an attempt to make all. I think this test will suit him much better. Stiff 5 furlongs is ideal for him. And I've got a good £5 claimer on Jura O'Neill, which doesn't worry me because the horse is such a straightforward ride. He really is just a point and shoot. So the £5 claim of Jura O'Neill could be massive for just another bottle.
Thank you very much, Giro. Isn't it funny how different people say the word horse so differently? You've got Giro who says horse, and you've got Mick Fitzgerald who always says horse. It's incredible it's the same word. Niall O'Reilly, who do you think is going to win?
I think one of the best handicap sprinters in training runs here in Jonah Jones for Ed Walker. I actually backed him last time at Haydock, and if you just watch that run back, you'll see yourself how far he should have won. It was on his reappearance after 9 months off, having his first start for Ed Walker, having been with Tom Daskin previously. He was really slowly away, though settled nicely. He switched sides to make his challenge. And just as he was getting going, he got sandwiched between two horses, losing about 4 lengths in the eventual winner, who was Celsius. He made up a massive amount of ground in the last furlong to only be beaten about a length into third. I don't know if the furlong by furlong times, but I'd be shocked if there's a faster furlong run at Haydock in the last while, because I'd say it was just off the charts in terms of an upgrade. He went up £2 for that run, though, given normal improvement for the run, the switch to a stiffer 5 furlongs. I think he is at least £10 in hand, maybe more. He's drawn 20, which normally tends to be okay at Ascot. So yeah, I think if he breaks okay and gets a run, he'll win.
Blimey, one of the best handicapped horses in training. Jonah Jones for Niall. G-Rod goes for just another bottle, and Keith goes for...
Well, I could have just about predicted what Niall was going to say, because I similarly fancy Jonah Jones and noted that Powers have ducked him. So I'm not terribly surprised to hear that Niall fancies him, because everybody that saw Haydock saw the same thing. Saw the horse powering home. He's run over a mile and whatnot, but he is a sprinter, really. Probably a sort of stiff 5, easy 6 type. So this is absolutely fine for him. I would add about the draw. The stalls are going to be on the stand side tomorrow, and he's in stall 20. He's going to have that rail. I doubt they'll go and try and make the running, but get a nice position on that rail. You're in a perfect spot, and I do think he's extremely well handicapped, so I will be following Niall in.
On Jonah Jones. Thank you very much, chaps. Let's get your best bet for Saturday.
This will not be beaten.
Graham Rodway, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm hoping this is going to be the weekend that James Ferguson's training career really takes off. So it's El Nassim in the 205 at Ascot.
Niall O'Reilly.
Yeah, 350 Ascot, Jonah Jones.
And Keith Melrose.
Jonah Jones again, yeah.
No harm in that. Always happy to have two go for the same one. Right then, before we go, we've got a real treat on Sunday. The British action isn't quite as strong as it has been, but that's okay. We've been spoiled with some really, really good Sundays. But no, the main focus is over the channel at beautiful Deauville. We're at 3:25 on Sunday. It's the Qatar Prix Jean Prat. Over 7 furlongs, the going is said to be good. And all attention here will be on Pinatubo, who, after 2 defeats, will be looking to recapture his brilliant 2-year-old form. He's pretty short, isn't he, Niall?
Yeah, so he's our 5-6 favourite at the moment. Malatum is 6-1, Trapo 9-1, Wood at 10-1, Lopi Fernandez 10-1, Kinross 12-1, Alcon 12-1, and 16-1 bar.
This is one fascinating contest, this, Keith, isn't it? Are you going to pin your faith in Pinatubo to recapture his brilliance of last year?
No, because once these good two-year-olds start getting beat, I just like to oppose them and oppose them until they start winning again, because they keep getting priced up on their two-year-old form, which isn't always as relevant to July or the three-year-old season as some people sort of tend to make out. I am going in for a bit of revenge here. I mean, I could look at this race for 3 hours and I'll tell you what I'd back at the end of it still. It would be Wooded, because I was all over him for the Commonwealth Cup, thought he was going to win that race, then he got pulled out. So that was, I got stung there at Ascot. I thought he was really, really impressive at Chantilly on his reappearance in May. Before the Commonwealth Cup, I went into great depth about that race, how the long and short of it was, I think he was ultimately on the wrong side and he still won by 3.5 lengths. And the form of the race has worked out pretty well. I will definitely be going in on Wooded.
Wooded for Keith. Who for you, G-Rod?
There's a bit of the too darn hot about Pinatubo, isn't there? Too darn hot. Obviously, a top-class two-year-old a couple of years ago. Then last year, it was a little bit disappointing. First couple of runs, then came on and won this race before going on to win at Royal Ascot and developing into the sort of classy miler that you thought he might be. I thought Pinatubo didn't stay behind Palace Pier, and I thought he travelled like a good horse through the race, like the good horse that we know he is. I don't think that he is as good as he was, and I don't think that he's as far clear as he was of them last year, but I think he'll probably be good enough to win this race. It doesn't look the strongest of group ones. The one horse that I do want to give a shout, if you must have a bet on it, because I wouldn't back Pinatubo, is a horse called Alson, who's trained by Andre Farb now. But I remember backing him last year when he finished second in the Jean-Luc Lagardère behind Vita Lordorum. And he was trained by, I think it was a German guy called Jean-Pierre Carvalho. And I just can't believe that Andre Farb won't get some more improvement out of Alson. I mean, if Jean-Pierre Carvalho can get him to finish second in that race last year, the Group 1 behind Victor Ludorum, I reckon that Andre Farb's going to get a Group 1 out of this horse, Alson. Whether it'll be Sunday, we'll see. But he's a fair enough price, and I'd be tempted to back him each way against the likely winner, Pinatubo.
Oh, you'd have got a decent price about Jean-Pierre Carvalho being German, wouldn't you? You'd have gone French and Portuguese.
Well, I don't know if he is German, but I think he trained in Germany at the time. But of course, you know, I have been known to get this sort of stuff wrong.
Yeah, he trained in Germany, but sends loads to France. I think he might be up sort of just near Strasbourg and therefore just in Germany and sends loads to France, I think.
Yeah.
But okay. The form of that, because he was third in a French Guineas, wasn't he, Alson? And the two that finished first and second were placed by Mishriff in the Jockey Club last week.
Interesting stuff. Okay, chaps, and finally, Niall, do you think Pinatubo will bounce back here?
I'm not entirely sure at the prices I want to take him on. I don't think it was stamina that beat him in Ascot. That race was slowly run. The finishing speed percentage was 106%, which basically means they're being asked to quicken at the end, which should have suited him ideally. I'm just not sure he's the same horse. He just doesn't seem to have it at the end of his races for me. Though I do think he was beaten by a special horse last time. I'm going to chance one each way for King Rafe again. Kinross. I was going to be all over him I thought he was going to run in the jersey at Royal Ascot, but they took him out for whatever reason. He just blatantly doesn't get a mile for me. If you watch the Guineas back, he made a move around the 6-furlong pole, and it was very eye-catching. The camera angle was along the side, so you could see it quite clearly before just not finishing out his race. He obviously drops the 7 furlongs here, which should suit ideally. I think that's probably his best trip. If you go back to his early days at Newmarket, he was very impressive on debut over the trip before not staying twice at a mile. If he can get back to that Davy type form, I think he'd give Pinatubo something to think about here. And at 12-1, he's worth chancing each way.
Yeah, good man. Well done, Niall. A good old King Rafe to finish with. Thank you very much indeed, gentlemen. Thanks, G-Rod. Thanks, Keith. And thanks, Niall. Thank you for listening. We're back next Friday with another great podcast, looking into another super-duper weekend in which the highlight is the Irish Oaks. Maddie's here on Monday to review the action and to chew over the fat on what's coming up. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. But most importantly, do please gamble responsibly.
Paddy Power shops are back open, and with them, the return of a massive racing offer. We're giving best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples. All UK and Irish racing, all shops, all day. Limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in shops for more details. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.